talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down.
Go tell that long. Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you in Madison on Devil Radio 92.7 FM and WTTN 1580 AM. And in Waukesha on the Shaw, 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits and all points of view are welcome. Remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. You're going right to the front lines of history in the making. And a lot of it has been made over the weekend. Today, 9 a.m. Central Time, 9 a.m. Wisconsin time, the January 6th Commission will reconvene, broadcasting their evidence, their deliberations, for 2 hours this morning. The focus today is going to be on the big lie on what Donald Trump did to gin up this insurrection and show his own criminal culpability. Some tidbits came out over the weekend. It turns out that Mark Meadows burned documents, chief of staff, right after he met with Scott Perry and they were talking about overturning the election. He realized what danger he was in. He burned these documents. I'll tell you what, you can't retrieve burned documents, but the fact of burning documents that are relevant right before an insurrection like that is evidence of a crime. It's evidence of a crime. An innocent man does not burn documents. So be sure to watch today if you can, or as much as you can. I'm sure there'll be coverage, I'm sure, on the news later on. But just like the first 2 hours, which I watched last week, there were some fascinating, absolutely fascinating pieces of evidence that came out that nobody had ever seen before because the committee had them on their own and then they released them. One was the video from the British documentary guy showing meetings with the Proud Boys, meetings with the Oath Keepers, and showing some of the violence, the savagery in great detail of that mob. Carolyn Edwards, the terrific Capitol Police officer. Five police officers standing near a bike rack trying to turn back a couple of hundred people. She's one of them. University of Georgia graduate, career police officer. Hit over the head with a bike rack. Next time you walk by a bike rack, take a good look at it, feel how heavy it is, and how would you like to be hit over the head with it? Thrown on the ground, knocked unconscious, her head hit the concrete. You can get a concussion doing that. You can get brain damage doing that. She wakes up to go back into the combat, and she is pepper sprayed in her face. Turns you red. You have to be decontaminated. She's dragged by other officers to a decontamination place. And on the way, she's pepper sprayed. And she's still recovering from her injuries. I'd never seen that before. I was very impressed hearing her. Actually, Crooked William Barr, who did so much to lie about the Ukraine impeachment, the insurrection, leading up to the insurrection, he was quiet about what was going to happen. And yet Crooked William Barr, to save his own skin, is there at a deposition on video saying that there was no fraud in that election, that he thought that was crazy. And when he realized what Trump was going to do, he resigned on December 23rd, 2 days before Christmas and 2 weeks before the insurrection. So these are the kinds of things that will come out. And it's well worth watching. If you think you know everything about it, you don't. Neither do I. Neither do I. As a result of that first video last week of the 2 hours of the January 6th Commission, remember Ivanka Trump, rather than run into what happened with Steve Bannon, Peter Navarro, and others who were criminally charged with felonies for contempt of Congress for not responding to their subpoenas, she responded to her subpoena and showed up. Obviously in an uncomfortable position because she's testifying against her father. And they asked her, do you think that was a legitimate election that elected Joe Biden? Do you think there was fraud? And the way she tap danced around it, she said, well, I took a look at Bill Barr's testimony, and I was persuaded by it. Well, Bill Barr said there was no fraud, but that enraged Trump, and he rebuked Ivanka right afterwards. He rebuked her publicly, his own daughter, and said, well, she didn't know anything about the election. This is all ugly and strange, very ugly and very strange, but I think that you are well advised to watch this thing today, 9 o'clock, 2 hours, and we'll have a lot more to say about it tomorrow. I want to quickly go to Wisconsin before we go to the lines. The lines are alive early. Quickly to Wisconsin. It turns out there was an announcement. There was an announcement that more forever chemicals have been found. More forever chemicals have been found. Do you live around Sparta? Do you ever, have you ever heard of Sparta? Have you ever heard of Sparta? Fort McCoy. They were found near Fort McCoy just now. In fish in a pond near the base. As a result, the DNR has issued an advisory around Fort McCoy, Sparta. If you fish, you should only take or eat one bluegill a week, one a week. For bass and pike, one a month. It's called Angelo Pond, if you know where that is. I don't. But it's southwest of Fort McCoy in Sparta. There's a 53-acre connected pool of water connected to the La Crosse River. I'll tell you what, here in Milwaukee, my home county, near the Air National Guard refueling wing, 128th Air National Guard refueling wing, near Mitchell Field, if you've ever flown out of Mitchell Field, the airport in Milwaukee. Forever chemicals found there, too. It's been found in rock bass from the Bay of Green Bay. You should only eat those once a week, apparently, according to the DNR. Brown trout from Black Earth Creek near Madison. You should eat brown trout once a week. There's other advisories in Dane County against eating fish. Starkweather Creek, Lake Monona. You heard of Lake Winona, have you? Wingra Creek, well, there are fish advisories. Upper and lower mud lakes, Yahara River, downstream. Lake Superior, you ever been up there? Rainbow smelt, you should eat once a month. Marinette and Peshtigo, you heard of them? They're the worst. You shouldn't eat any fish anywhere near the Tyco Fire Products plant in Marinette. Forever chemicals have been found in the livers of deer up in that area. You like deer hunting, do you? You like to eat venison? Forget chronic wasting disease. You may not want to eat these deer. There's cancer in our water. And, you know, I've given you enough geographic locations, and I didn't mention Wausau, and I didn't mention Rhinelander, and I didn't mention Eau Claire. They all have it, too. This is cancer water. And the problem is it's not regulated. Forever chemicals are not regulated by the federal government. They're left up to the states, and the states in a gerrymandered legislature like ours. But the DNR, still run by Republicans. Fred Prenz stayed on. The guy lost his seat over a year ago, 2 years ago. He lost his seat. Tony Evers put in someone else in 2019, and he's stayed on. An unwelcome guest. Conspired with Republican legislators to do it. And they go, well, we'll get around to reviewing and passing on his successor someday, maybe when there's a Republican governor. They've just hijacked the DNR, and the Wisconsin manufacturers are the ones behind this. So you think you're a hunter, do you? You think you're a fisherman? You like to swim? You like to water ski? How about doing it with no cancer water? If you continue to vote Republican, you are poisoning the water in this state. They say that Michigan Minnesota is the land of 10,000 lakes. We have more lakes than Minnesota. We have 15,000 lakes. We are the land of lakes. We are the land of lakes. And Lake Superior and Green Bay and Lake Michigan. And they are being poisoned with cancer water because of the Republican Party. You have to understand that. You go to a break quick. Lines are open. Mike of Oklahoma, my friend, thanks for calling. What's in your mind today? Mike of Oklahoma.
Hi there. I'm watching some carp out here in the lake near what you're talking about, fish.
Well, if you don't have forever chemicals there, you can probably eat it. But otherwise, be very careful, very, very careful.
I ate a crappie out of here one time.
So what's going on in Oklahoma, calling, Mike? Thanks for listening to a Wisconsin station.
Of course. I study video indexes. There's only two, YouTube and Rumble.
Okay.
Now,
what's
Rumble, there's differences. So I wanted to tell you the difference.
Okay. Tie it into something, Mike. You know, radio is a hot medium. TV is a cool medium.
Any made-up word, if it shows no results in Rumble, sets only one video. It makes that word a non-fungible token, and it caches when you give it out over the radio at 3 cents a view.
Right, well,
or
the non-fungible tokens for everybody out
buck.
There. There are people paying millions of dollars for something, things that are simply look like videos. And you think, well, that could be easily duplicated. I think non-fungible tokens are a fraud myself. I'm glad you raised that issue, Mike. Thanks a lot for calling. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Director. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, there is a bipartisan gun bill. That's how it's being touted. That people are saying is about to pass the Congress. And by Congress, I mean not only the House of Representatives, but the U.S. Senate. You know, the word Congress encompasses both of them. Congress of the United States is 435 members of the House of Representatives and 100 senators, 535 people. As a practical matter, when you use the word congressman, everybody thinks just of a member of the House of Representatives, but in any event, Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats control the majority in the House of Representatives. In the Senate, it's 50-50, and even though we have Kamala Harris breaking the tie because of the filibuster, requires 10 Republicans, requires 60 senators to pass something. That has become absurd in the era of extreme partisanship. One of the anomalies, one of the strange things is that even though it takes 60 votes to beat a filibuster, it only takes 50 votes plus one to get rid of the filibuster, to get rid of the 60-vote requirement. I've said, and I'm not the only one, that for things like the Voting Rights Bill, H.R. 1 and S.B. 1, and abolishing AR-15s and semiotic assault rifles and large capacity magazines, those are two in particular, we should suspend the filibuster just for those two. Manchin and Sinema won't do it. If we had 50 Democrats to do it, they both would have passed already. Manchin and Sinema won't do it. They won't do it. I'll tell you what, Moscow Mitch, if he ever gets a majority, he'll do it. He'll do it in a heartbeat. He did it for Supreme Court appointments and cabinet appointments. He just said, yeah, we're just going to suspend it for that. Well, if he's just going to suspend it for that, why don't we suspend it for the other that? Because Manchin and Sinema won't do it. Anyway, it takes 60 votes to get through the Senate right now. 60 votes. Because of Moscow Mitch filibustering and Manchin and Sinema not relieving us of the filibuster. So I heard about this bipartisan gun bill, and I thought, great, 10 Republicans are going to sign on to it. Great. And first of all, who are these Republicans? And I'm going to tell you why I was then disappointed. Cornyn of Texas, Tillis of North Carolina, Blunt of Missouri, Portman of Ohio, Burr of North Carolina as well, Romney of Utah, Cassidy of Louisiana, Collins of Maine, Lindsey Graham of South Carolina, and Toomey of Pennsylvania. These are all people who are deemed, which is amazing to me that you deem them this way, moderates. Compared, I suppose, to Cruz and Ron Johnson, people like that. Lisa Murkowski's not on the list because she's up for election in Alaska, and there's a lot of folks up there who don't even like the sound of anything involving gun safety. And then I took a good look at the bill, and I think it is basically a sham. I'm going to tell you that. Why do I say that? You know what it is? I thought, well, does it ban assault weapons? Does it ban military weapons from civilian hands, like machine guns and bazookas? And we should do assault weapons as well. They're like machine guns. No. Well, what does it do? Does it raise the age to buy an AR-15 to 21? No. What does it do? What does it do? Well, here's what it does. Put in some more money, and not a lot of it, for school safety, whatever that means. So schools will get money. Probably some of them use it to pay teachers' salaries, which is great, unless all they're doing is keeping teachers' salaries low and using that money for something else. What, buying an extra lock for the door? The second thing it does, it says background checks for people who are under 21 can include search of juvenile records. Well, up until now, if you want to look at a juvenile record, it takes a court order. What this will permit is that gun shops can search the juvenile records. What if they don't? And a lot of people don't get their guns in gun shops. A lot of them get them at gun shows or over the internet or private sales. The third thing it does is incentives for states to pass a red flag law. It doesn't pass a red flag law. It just gives states financial incentives to pass a red flag law, which won't pass in any of the gerrymandered Republican states. You think it's going to pass in Texas, Wisconsin, with Voss there, gerrymandered? No, it won't pass. And increased protection for domestic violence victims. Well, that's great. That's great, but what does that mean? They're not going to deny anybody a gun. What are they going to do? Provide counseling? This is a sham. This is a sham. It gives the Republicans the ability to go back on the campaign trail this fall and see people say, what about Uvalde and Buffalo? I mean, and by the way, there were two shootings yesterday. One in Columbus, Ohio, and one in Kentucky. And I saw the one in Columbus, Ohio, late in the afternoon as I was preparing the show. Then I looked at the evening news, and they said there was another one in Kentucky. I mean, there's two a day, three a day of multiple shootings, three a day. The Republicans realize they can't possibly go to the electorate and do nothing after Uvalde, so they have to pretend to do something. So they get 10 of their so-called moderates. Several of them aren't running for re-election. They're not even up. They're not even going to face any consequence. Toomey is not even running again. Blunt isn't even running again. I don't think Tillis is running again. Maybe he is. Who knows? Lindsey Graham just got re-elected. And they can go back to everybody and say, well, we didn't do anything. We just pulled the wool over their eyes. Give a little money for school safety. Well, that's okay. And give states a little money if they want to pass a red flag law. We don't want it, but whatever. And background checks for under 21. Well, whatever. They can still buy one, a mentally ill 18-year-old at a gun show. So we didn't really do anything. Then they'll have a good chuckle about it. And then people like Ron Johnson and Cruz, who oppose it, and even this, go around the state, Ron Johnson will go somewhere, and they'll go, well, what about Uvalde and Buffalo? And he'll go, well, we passed something. We passed a bipartisan gun bill. He won't say he voted against it. This happened with the infrastructure bill, the hard infrastructure bill. A lot of Republicans voted against it, but their state's got a lot of money. Guy down in Mississippi, Republican, puts out an ad boasting about it, saying this town got, you know, $200 million. He didn't tell them that he voted against it. They don't find out how they voted. They only watch television and they only watch ads. And he gets ad money from donors, from the NRA, from the Koch brothers and others. And they go in the voting bill thinking, my guy got us some money. My guy got us some money. And they'll go in saying, my guy did something about guns. He didn't do anything about guns. AR-15s, AK-47s, large capacity magazines are military weapons. If somebody won't join the military because they're too chicken or they don't want to, they don't get to fire them. You want to fire a bazooka, machine gun, you want to fire something, artillery, join the military, guys, okay? And if you don't, you have a right to bear arms. Second Amendment, I've said before, is a liberal amendment for reasons I've discussed before, but it doesn't extend to military weapons. Assault rifles have got to be deemed military weapons, and therefore they can't be in civilian hands. This didn't do anything, in my opinion. This thing is a scam, this bipartisan gun bill. And everybody in the Democrats say, well, at least it's something. All it is letting off a little pressure, letting out a little pressure. Going to break. Lines are open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, eventful news, right after our show was over on Friday, Bozo the Clown, Gableman, Mike Gableman, was held in contempt by Judge Frank Remington, circuit judge with a very fine reputation, as was his investigator, Bozo's investigator, Gableman's investigator, because how they responded, his office responded to an open records request. He'd been ordered by the judge, Remington, to produce the records. There's now evidence that the Republicans have just destroyed many records, quite a few records, anything having to do with Gableman's so-called investigation into voting fraud. Now, Gableman was a judge himself at one time, although subject to several ethics complaints, which were never resolved against him. I believe he was exonerated in both, but Gableman is not a guy that anybody wants as a judge. But even a non-judge, even those of you out there who are not judges, know that there's certain things you don't do. You act respectfully in court. You don't yell at the judge, that kind of thing. Well, Gableman berated the judge. He says, he said the judge that he was basically prejudiced. He said the judge, you're not a neutral advocate. You're not a neutral. You're an advocate. You're not neutral. You're an advocate. And then he refused to answer questions on the witness stand. The judge held him in contempt. You can't just do that. I mean, you don't go into court and say, I refuse to answer. The only time you can do that is to say, I refuse to answer on the grounds that it might incriminate me. That's the Fifth Amendment. You can do that. Mabel Gableman thought he was doing that. You know, he yells at the judge, you're not neutral. You're an advocate. And then I'm not going to answer any questions. But you can't do it that way. You've got to invoke the Fifth. So everybody knows that you're afraid of criminal responsibility. And here's why. Here's why. This is a fine point of law that you must understand. In a criminal case, you do not have to testify. And in a criminal case, the judge and the prosecutor can't even comment on the fact that you've not testified. Prosecutor in closing argument can't get up and go, the defendant here claims he's innocent, but he wouldn't testify. So you can obviously assume that there's where the smoke, there's fire. You can't say that in a criminal case. But in a civil case, you can. If you sue somebody because he committed something that happens to be a crime and it's a tort and it injured you, and you subpoena him on the stand and he gets up and he won't testify, that's similar here. This is a civil case. Or in a deposition, he won't testify, there is an instruction the judge can give the jury. He can turn to the jury in his robes and go, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, Mr. Gableman here refused to testify. You can, and took the Fifth Amendment. You can infer because he took the Fifth Amendment that he did it. That he did it. That's a pretty heavy sanction. Judge in his robes goes and tells you that you're on the jury. So Gableman tried to be cute. He shouted at the judge, you're not neutral, you're an advocate. And he didn't invoke the Fifth, he just refused to testify. Now, when you do that, you get held in contempt. You get held in contempt. And contempt can have criminal consequences. Judge can throw you in jail until you testify. Well, Judge Remington said he will take it, he will issue the sanction, in other words, the punishment for what Gableman did in a written decision, which should be coming down soon. Then Gableman ratted on his own staff. He pinned it on his staff. He said, well, I just told my staff to do it. It ain't me. Nobody here but us chickens, boss. It was the staff that did it. One of his staff is a guy named Zachary Nemirovitz. He supposedly is a legal custodian responsible for responding to the request. Judge Remington told Zachary, you better get your own attorney. It's not a smart thing for one lawyer to represent two people who might be in trouble because they may want to rat on each other, just like Gableman ratted out Zachary. And one lawyer can't represent both. And then Remington admonished Gableman. Bozo said, quote, I shouldn't have to instruct you on the behavior I expect on the witness stand. And you know what Bozo did? Bozo Gableman. He goes back after the judge. He goes, quote, I'm not going to be railroaded. You don't have a right to act as an advocate for one party over another. If you are putting jail on the table, I want a personal attorney to represent me. And then this is Bozo again, Gableman. He goes, I will not answer any more questions. You want to put me in jail, Judge Remington? I'm not going to be railroaded. Now, his team is accused of destroying thousands of records. That's a very serious thing. That's a very serious thing. Why are we paying $900,000 in taxpayer money for this? Why, you know, who, if any of you paid, are going to pay $900,000 in state taxes in your lifetime, call Sam immediately and I'll put you on the air. I do not think there's many people like that. I'm not going to. Are you kidding me? What, every penny you paid in state taxes going down the drain because the Republican Party is doing a scam to buy off Trump? Does that bother you? I mean, this is, you know what? Bill Proxmire wouldn't put up for this. He, you know, he was a very, very frugal guy. He was the taxpayer's watchdog. Republican Party is not the taxpayer's watchdog. They're a dog that'll bite the taxpayer. It'll bite the taxpayer. Gableman recently, there are only two things he's spending money on, trying to put the mayors of Madison and Green Bay and other places in jail for not agreeing to secret questioning when they've offered to do it in public, which is what the law requires, and investigating women, always young women, whom he has a Jones about living with their boyfriends, having tattoos, wearing nose rings, and dyeing their hair. And this is something he's intensely interested in. And he's using tax dollars to dig into it. You know, enough's enough. Enough's enough. And now he's held in contempt by a very well-regarded judge who I believe was appointed by Scott Walker, believe it or not. I believe Frank Remington was appointed by Scott Walker. And he holds Gableman in contempt. And Gableman is using tax dollars to resist the contempt. Our money's being wasted. We're going to the lines. Wisco Paul, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today? Wisco Paul.
Morning, man. Thanks for taking my call. I'm on a little bit of a story first. You know, my dad, he floated around on the Atlantic looking for German subs. My mom and dad were both Roosevelt Democrats. They both worked in union shops. So that gives you a little idea how I grew up. And they never trashed Republicans, by the way. But they always voted, always. The only sticker I ever seen on the back of my dad's car, in fact, was a Proxmire sticker. Otherwise, you know, he didn't flash that stuff around. But what they always instilled in all of us was go vote. You can't talk, I'll put it in my words, you can't talk smack about what's going on if you don't vote. Voting is the most important thing you can do. And my dad always said, "This what makes this country and what sets us apart from any other country, free, fair elections." If they were still alive, they'd be, I don't know what they would say about this. Maybe they would finally start saying negative things about Republicans. They were also Christians. But this stuff is just a bridge too far anymore, Galen. Now I'll throw this other mix in there. I watch ads on TV, Michaels. He's proud to be Trump endorsed. Proud of it.
Right.
I don't know. You know, and Trump, you know, I don't care if you're a Republican. I don't care. You know, you vote for, that's what we have, for the time being anyway, free, fair elections. But this Trump thing has to end, Matt.
No, I agree with you 100%. I deeply respect what you're saying about your parents and their legacy. They obviously had a wonderful impact on you. And you're right. Get out there and vote. And the vast majority of people in this state, Republican or Democrat, don't want any of this kind of stuff. And they're honest people. And so, but we don't have honest people in government. We don't have Proxmires anymore. Paul, let me tell you one other thing Gableman did. He hired an attorney, did not have a Wisconsin law license at your and my expense. So there was a deposition of a guy named John Morrissey, the Kenosha City Administrator. He showed up in Brookfield for deposition, a secret deposition in Gableman's secret place, which he shouldn't have had to do. And he said, "I don't have to do it, but I'll show up." The others said, "No, we want to do it in public." But Morrissey said, "Fine, I'll show up." But he said, "I'm not going to agree to be questioned by a guy that isn't licensed to practice law in Wisconsin." There was a wrong address on the subpoena to Morrissey. And Morrissey's lawyer said, "Look, this thing is wrongly served. It's overbroad, but we're here. Go ahead. Is there a Wisconsin lawyer that wants to ask questions?" And Gableman goes, Bozo the clown, Gableman goes, "Well, here's Clint Lancaster. And he's only an investigator for this purpose. He doesn't need a law license." And Morrissey and his attorney said, "Wait a minute. What, you're going to bring, Bozo the clown's going to bring me into a secret office? Some guy pops out of the closet and says, 'Well, I'm not a lawyer, but I'm going to start grilling you.' I don't think so. And then this Lancaster, who's not licensed in Wisconsin, said he was going to report the lawyer from Morrissey to the state bar for sanctions. Do you know how screwed up this is? $900,000 already. It's going to go well over $1 million because all of this stuff involves briefs and oral argument, and lawyers are getting paid. They're getting paid by you. It's going to run into the million, maybe 2 million, for dragging a guy that doesn't have to be to a secret place and trotting out a guy who isn't a Wisconsin lawyer. And then you get Bozo the clown, Gableman, sanctioned by the judge. Why are we paying for this? Why are we paying tax dollars for this? We're going to a break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Go back to the lines. Gene of Eau Claire, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Gene?
Good morning, Matt. Great show as usual. Great callers. Hey, you know what? The poop keeps getting deeper, thicker, and stinkier. And I have to use poop because you can't swear on the radio. I cannot believe this. You know, this is not just Trump. Scotty Walker taught Trump how to pull this stuff. because the same things that were done in Wisconsin that the people haven't quite grasped is being done, was being done by Trump. The same way he busted up our state, busted our elections board, got rid of the judges, got away with whatever he wanted to do, and it just kind of really hurt our state. But now it's even getting worse, and the criminality, just crime after crime after crime, and fraud and abuse and wasteful spending. And then that son of a gun, Gableman, can say, oh, it's because the people wouldn't respond to the subpoenas. That's why it costs so much in court costs. Boy, if you ever people really knew what was going on there, they'd be madder than you know what. And they'd demand to get Gableman out of there, and they'd start voting these people out. If they don't have enough money for their streets and roads and everything else, don't blame our governor. You blame those Republicans that are pulling all this crap. And they're not the good Republicans. I don't know where the heck they went. They just stand in line and salute. It's just sickening. And Matt, I got to say one more thing about the gun law. I was glad to hear you bring that up this morning because I was sickened. I thought, what the heck is this? We're supposed to be doing something to not only protect children, but to protect people in their churches, synagogues, at the grocery store, and we can't even get those military weapons off the street. So anyway.
Well, you know, Jane, I love your passion as always, and you really hit the nail on the head. In other words, this gun bill does not raise the age for AR-15s, much less get rid of them. An 18-year-old still can do it, but they're going to look for his juvenile record. Well, most juveniles don't have a record. They don't have a record, but they still can be very disturbed. They can still be mentally ill. They can still be angry. An 18-year-old guy is full of hormones and doesn't have any common sense whatsoever. And he's angry. You know, his girlfriend jilted him or turned him down for the prom, or he didn't get a job, or he didn't get into college, or whatever, whatever. And he's emotionally disturbed. Day after his 18th birthday, he can still buy one. He'll pass a background check because he may not have gotten in trouble as a juvenile. And even if he did, he can go to a gun show and buy one. There's no background checks under this thing. This thing is a fraud that the 10 Republicans threw out there to try to give talking points to Republicans. That's all it is. That's all it is. The proposal was get rid of assault rifles in civilian hands. And I don't think you even have to phrase it that way. Designate them as military weapons. They are military weapons. An assault rifle can do more damage, modern one, than a machine gun from the 1930s, which was banned and still is. And then Biden went, yeah, at least don't let people under 21 buy them. That doesn't do this. This thing is a scam. Thanks very much for calling in. Very, very much for calling in. And I'm Gableman, you're right. I mean, here's a guy burning through cash. We do have potholes all over this place, all over the place, all over the state. Guy burns through cash, 900 already. It's going to go well into the millions because there's all this pending litigation. All because he wants to hold secret depositions. And a guy from Kenosha County Ministry goes, okay, I'll even do that. He shows up and, you know, Quasimodo jumps out of a closet and says, I'm going to ask the questions. His lawyer goes, well, wait a minute. Are you a lawyer? Are you admitted in Wisconsin? Guy goes, no, but that doesn't matter. Well, yes, it actually does matter. And that's going to be litigated. Then Gableman goes over there and the judge holds him in contempt because they destroyed a lot of documents. And he tries to blame it on Zachary, his assistant. It reminds me of young Frankenstein. You know, here's my assistant. Why don't you go after him? Why are we paying money for this? What do you think Bill Proxmire would say? Where is the taxpayer watchdog? They think 900 grand or a million or more is chump change. That's what they think. Thanks, Colin. You know, I'll tell you what. You may think, many of you out there may go, well, okay, you know, there are some strange Republicans, but by and large, the Republican Party is pretty solid. You know something? I don't believe that anymore. There is a guy running for Congress named Carl Palladino. He's in Buffalo, New York. right outside of Buffalo. He was their governor candidate last time, didn't make it, 2010, two times ago. And now he's running for Congress, and he's their nominee. And he was always a very, very terrible guy when it came to anything racial. Really, very bad. Anyway, here's what he said in a speech. Quote, I'm not kidding. Carl Palladino, Republican candidate for Congress in the state of New York. Quote, Adolf Hitler is the kind of leader we need today. He aroused the crowd. He'd get up there screaming those epithets. And the crowd was just hypnotized by him. We need that today. Now, who says that? I mean, who says that? Adolf Hitler was a genocidal murderer and sadist. He killed many, many millions of people, Jewish people, everybody else that he got his hands on, Poland and Ukraine, 6 million Jewish people, set up concentration camps, would go into town looking for people that he didn't think were the master race, and then he would just kill them. He was an animal, a monster. And yet their congressional candidate in upstate New York said, quote, Adolf Hitler is the kind of leader we need today. He aroused the crowd. He'd get up there screaming these epithets, and the crowd was just hypnotized by him. We need that today. Now, you may say, okay, Matt, you're being unfair. Okay, he's no good. He's no good. Oh, and he also made comments about Michelle Obama physically that are so disgusting that I'm not even going to repeat them on the radio. Okay, but he's just one Republican. Well, no. They have a woman named Elise Stefanik, who's the number three in the House leadership. They threw out Liz Cheney and put in Elise Stefanik from Northern New York. Always been a moderate. Now she's basically a Trump slave. She did not repudiate Carl Palladino, even though she's the highest ranking Republican in her state. And she invited him to meet with Donald Trump at a fundraiser, and they had a picture taken together. And she said of him, quote, Carl Palladino is a job creator, and he is an outsider for the people of New York. He is an outsider and a tireless fighter for the people of New York. Let me tell you something. I was never number three in the state in the leadership of the Democrats, but I was the party chairman. If I had a candidate who said what Carl Palladino said and did what he did, I'd throw him out. I'd throw him out of the party. I'd convene the executive committee and say, get rid of this guy. Get rid of this guy. This isn't just Carl Palladino. This is Elise Stefanik, number three in the House leadership. She had originally been looked at as quasi-moderate. She's from upstate New York, the farthest part of New York. Palladino's running for Congress in a rural New York area, too. And what does she do? What does she do? She does nothing. She's still supporting him. What does Kevin McCarthy do? He doesn't answer questions. You've got to denounce this. If you are a party with any integrity whatsoever, you have got to denounce this. That is a party that is creeping slowly to fascism. This is a very, very dangerous thing. Going to a break. The lines are open. 844-967-2789. You're on the lines. Don't hang up. Get back to you right after the break.